Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study titled Nebuchadnezzar's Confession, Daniel chapter 2, verses 46 through 49. This is part 2 of 2.
So by contrast, we are saved whenever we repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have on the banner back there, Acts 20:21. That is Pauline ministry. Paul is our apostle. Paul is the apostle that was sent to reveal the mystery to the churches. And that's what he did, and that's what I'm going to do. Amen? Amen. Oh, I didn't realize I put it up there on the screen. Read it with me. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the ministry of Paul, and that's the ministry of this age. You can stop that ministry after the rapture. And after the rapture, if any of you are left, you can continue to meet here all you want. Now, this is how we obey the gospel. Do you know that you have to obey the gospel? Yeah, that's how we obey the gospel. In 1 Peter 4:17, Peter is talking to a bunch of Jews, the tribes that are scattered, and he's trying to clarify the gospel to them. And he says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God." That was in reference to what was about to happen, I believe, in 70 A.D. and 135, put the icing on the cake, when the house of God — this is not the house of God, he's not talking about this building here or any other church building, he's talking about the house of God. The house of God was in Jerusalem, the temple. And judgment began there with the destruction of that temple. And then the Jews are dispersed. And now 2,000 years later, they're all going back home, getting ready for Daniel's 70th week. Judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey what? Not the gospel of God. See? There's an obedience factor with the gospel. Thus, the evidence of Nebuchadnezzar's salvation is how he responds by doing works meet for repentance. See, there's similarities again. That's exactly how I can have confidence when you say you're a Christian, is I see works meet for repentance. That's why in this Pride Month, and what you will see at the parade, if you go there, you're going to see all kinds of nudity and perversion. So don't go there. But if you were to be there, in addition to the perversion and wickedness, you would see churches. Churches. One I know is going to be down there is the King Avenue United Methodist Church. Another one's this Lutheran church right out here on 161 in Linworth. You're going to see churches around here in that parade boasting about the fact that they embrace Sodom. You know why I know they're going to hell? There's no works meet for repentance. A lot of those people will claim that they do believe the gospel. And they'll even say they've been saved. Well, then you ask them what that means, and there's one word you'll never hear them say: repent. And there's one thing you will never see: works meet for repentance. So anybody going around calling themselves a gay Christian, for example, they're repudiating their confession of faith if they're making one right there. Because, because people always say, your sin's no better than theirs. Amen. The only difference between me and a sodomite who's walking around claiming to be a gay Christian and all that, the difference is I repented. That's the only difference. So we see works meet for repentance from Nebuchadnezzar in verse 48. Read that. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Now, think about it. I think this is neat. Because what's Nebuchadnezzar? The first thing he does is give a confession, and he's praising God. And the next thing he does is he shows his love for the brethren. Isn't that something? The proof is in the pudding. That they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. When we are saved, we should love the brethren. Now, that means you love them enough that if they're living in sin, you confront them about it. If they're in heresy, you confront them about it. If they're in an apostate church, you confront them about it. I didn't say you had to be mean, but you have to just explain it to them. Listen, there's something wrong with this. Something wrong with that. But if you're able to, then you actually can show love to people, even in that situation. How do you show love? Well, if they're willing, you can give them material so they can start to read and learn about these things. You can pray for them. If they say, oh, I've got to get out of this church, I never realized this is going on, you invite them on down. Amen? Yeah. But then there's other situations where, like Stephen, we'll boast on him for a minute, whether or not Charlie decides he wants the job or not, that's something he has to pray about. But first thing Stephen thought of when he had somebody no-show and there was a job opening, maybe Charlie would be interested in this. Now, Stephen's not been there long enough, he probably doesn't have a lot of pull, but let's say he did. I guarantee if Charlie wanted the job, Stephen would help him get the job. Amen? That's what you do for each other. Too bad I don't have any pull, so you're not going to get much help out of me. But hey, I'll do what I can for you. I pray for you. When this couple, I just mentioned Stephen and Mark, they needed a car. So what I do? All I could do, ask other people to help. And what happened? Somebody else, my brother down in Virginia, sees this car owned by an elderly lady who hadn't driven it much, offers them for a killer price. Steve and I jump in the car and drive 4.5 hours down to Virginia and get the car and bring it back, and he's got a car. I had very little to do with it, but I played what part I could. Amen? That's what you do. That's what Nebuchadnezzar's doing. He had a little more pull. Nebuchadnezzar's king of the universe at this point. A little exaggeration, but he's like the king. Look at what 1 John 3:14 says about us. Read that with me. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now I'm going to stop. I want to ask you to read it with me because you make me think you don't believe it. I want you to read it with me. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. That's not saying that you're saved by loving your brother. It's saying that if you're saved, you should love your brother. Amen? And that's what we're seeing out of Nebuchadnezzar right now. We're seeing out Nebuchadnezzar is showing his love for Daniel. I think it's great. Works confirm our salvation. Works do not produce salvation. Amen? Say that with me. Works confirm our salvation. Works do not produce salvation. And that's all we can go by. I mean, you can confess Jesus till you're blue in the face, and if I don't see any evidence of it, then I'm just got to be honest. I'm not going to buy it. But if you confess it and you show works meet for repentance, I'm going to believe it. And then if you're really not saved, then I guess when we get to heaven, we're going to be in for a shock. Amen? There might be some people like that. But for the most part, when someone gives you a solid profession of faith in the gospel and you can see it, then that's a pretty sure thing. That's why Peter said, you know, to make your calling and election sure. That's what he meant. Read that.
Talk is cheap.
Amen. Talk is cheap. So we got a little taste of brotherly love. In the final verse, we see Daniel taking care of the brethren. Nebuchadnezzar showing love for Daniel. And of course, Daniel turns right around. What's he do? He shows some love for the brethren. Read that with me. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. I've told people, one of the ways I really started to believe that Donald Trump had not just taken us for a big ride when he got elected was the people he put around him. And he put solid, some of them solid Christian people, other solid conservative people. And that's when I started to feel real good about, I felt real good about Hillary not being elected. But I still was on the fence when it came to Trump being president. I even told people, the only thing we may get out of this is not having Hillary. I'm still dancing. You know? But then turn around and Trump starts putting these good people in. He's not perfect. He's going to make some mistakes. But I'm just so thankful right now for what we're getting. Just got to say it. I could lie or just pretend that's not true, but that's the way I feel. And here you have Daniel. And he's surrounding himself with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah as their Hebrew names. And Daniel, he sat in the gate of the king. And when you're faithful to the Lord, and you work for somebody who is faithful for the Lord, you will be promoted. You will move up the ladder. If you're serving the Lord, you work as under the Lord, you're a true blue Christian. And right now is a time where Christians are prospering again. You're seeing Christians start to come out and say, wow, times are... I thought I'd never see days like this again. Amen? That's what it is. But, you know, if Trump turned his back and started doing the wrong thing, it could turn all around again. Maybe it's where you're working. I've worked for Christian, professing Christians who were terrible to work for. But then I've worked for some Christians who were true, real deal Christians, and it was a wonderful place to work. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Now that term is a place of leadership and authority, as we see with Lot, Moses, and Samuel. And it's a term. Get it in your head. Make a little note. When you see someone is sitting in the gate, it's a place of authority. In Lot, it says in Genesis 19:1, Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. You remember when the Sodomites came down to try to take the angels, and they said, who is this man who's come into our town? Now he set himself up as a judge. It's because he was literally sitting in the gate as a judge. He had reached that level. Moses stood in the gate of the camp, Exodus 32:26. And then we have Saul. It says Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate. So Samuel is in the gate in 1 Samuel 9:18. In glory, we will reign with the king, just like we're seeing Daniel here. Daniel is a type of, at times you can see Daniel is a type of Jesus Christ. You know what I mean when I say type of? Means he's a foreshadow of. There's times where Daniel's a type of the Holy Spirit. There's also times where he's a type of the believer. And just as Daniel is reigning with the king, Revelation 5:10 says about us, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Isn't that awesome? Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Revelation 20, verse 6. One last one. Revelation 22:5. Read that. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Say, I am they. Amen. Amen. Serving God is exciting and awesome. Amen? Amen? Even when you're tired. And in closing, I just want to reiterate, I believe we will see Nebuchadnezzar in heaven. And we're going to see more. He's not... Listen, God's not done with him. He's going to mess up big. And God's going to chastise him because he loves him. And he's going to bring Nebuchadnezzar literally to his knees later on. But he's going to treat him like he treats a son because he's a faithful father. God loves us enough to chastise us. So let's have a little bit of Q&A for just a few minutes. Starting with the first hand there, Jenny.
I was reading in my book, and Bible was this brought up the fact that Nebuchadnezzar was initially worshiping King Daniel, and
Like,
yeah, we went over that. That the first thing he did was actually worship Daniel. All
right.
But that was my explanation, was he's just doing what pagans do. And people want to throw out his confession because he was doing what pagans do. Well, you're going to see that among pagan Americans when they get saved too. Yeah. Johnny?
I would just add to that, while that's true, but the cool thing about it is that in the very next moment, though, he's praising God.
Exactly. That was the point. Stephen?
Okay, so I had the same question. The first question is going to be a little weird. Okay, so quoted.
We're used to it.
Oh, okay. I remember the first question. We'll go with that one first. So, now it's
something.
Okay, so was it Nebuchadnezzar, because obviously you're in the disposition of law, but he's not a Jew, so he's actually still in the disposition of conscience because he's a Greek?
Well, he's basically like Abraham. Abraham wasn't under the Mosaic law either. But it's similar to Ruth and Rahab. You know, they made a profession and were brought in among the Jews and lived as a Jew among the Jews. Now, Nebuchadnezzar couldn't do that because of the situation. There were no Jews in Judea. There was the captivity. So that's what you always take. Everything you're reading, you have to put it in its context and see what's going on and just understand, you know, God is a righteous God. As Abraham was talking to the Lord before he destroyed Sodom, he says, "Will not the God, righteous God, do right?" And God did right. And that's the one thing. Just to throw this out there, we look at the world, and there's so many places where there's this spiritual darkness. The gospel's not really getting out like we would like it to be. But you realize we always. It's funny, we always think of the Amazon or, you know, places like Rwanda we've talked about, places in Africa. Do you realize probably one of the three worst places on the planet right now when it comes to the gospel not getting out and being totally rejected by people who many of them have never really even heard the truth of the gospel clearly, and that is England, Germany, and France. Less than 5% of English people attend church. Go to Germany. I've known two missionaries who went over there all excited for the Lord and 10 years later came back just shaking their head. Just totally destitute of gospel witness. So, the good thing is that we know that God is righteous and He will do right. So, you know, those people over there, we try to reach as many as we can with the gospel. We support missions and all. But we know that God is going to do right. No one's going to go to hell who doesn't deserve to be there. Amen? Charlie?
Kind of jumping ship. Who is Ahasuerus? Is he another name?
Or is it?
Well, there's extra biblical guesses about that. We don't know for sure because there's more than one Artaxerxes, and I'm not sure which one they think he was, but that's guessing. They don't know for sure.
I had a quick question.
Sure.
So in the New Testament, you remember when Simon the sorcerer talked about that was sort of the transition in Acts. And it says he believes also that he was baptized.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tries to buy the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about that?
I believe he was saved, but he was threatened with severe chastisement if he...
It's kind of like
yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
And it's almost, if we know they weren't in the dispensation of grace, yeah, they won't do that temptation.
Yeah.
So I thought that was what came to mind.
Mm-hmm. Similar. Doug?
The one verse that you mentioned over in James is one of the most misconstrued verses.
Yeah, and you know why?
About the faith and works.
The simple reason is because they won't interpret the Bible dispensationally.
Correct. And the idea of it is when they look at me, they'll say, what are your works? They'll say, what Jesus Christ did to finish work on the cross.
Right. Right.
But I got to do something. I nothing to do with them.
But as long as they put themselves under the same dispensation as Abraham, they do have to do something. That's the thing. You know, all you have to do is take something. It's a truth misplaced. Yeah. Stephen?
We were talking about a second ago about the seeing somebody, once they get saved, and you can tell what saved is the great fire of fruit.
Mm-hmm. Fruit of the Spirit, that's right. Okay?
I just have an interesting comment. When I was going to Jeremiah, some fact it said that if you guys stay in the land under these new kings, I'll take care of you. So it's kind of cool to then go to Daniel, and they're under the new kings, and they're being to be
Right.
Yeah. Man.
And all the people that didn't know that were killed.
Yeah, it's really what Jeremiah's ministry was, to say, listen, you need to go along with what's about to happen to Nebuchadnezzar or you'll die.
Now, there were some people who stayed, some Jews who stayed, right?
Yeah. But these were people who thought that they were going to run to Egypt and hide.
Oh, okay.
And he said, I'll hunt you down.
All the Jews of Egypt.
Yeah. Were never heard from again.
Right. The people, for the Jews who stayed in the land.
There was only a small number that Nebuchadnezzar left there so that the land wouldn't be overgrown and everything.
Didn't they, intermarry with the Greeks?
Well, that's what Ezra and Nehemiah dealt with. It wasn't Greeks. It was Moabites and others in that area. I'm not saying none of them intermarried with the Greeks, but the big problem was the Moabites and the Midianites, or whoever was.
You know, the Egyptian Jews, a bunch of them went back to Jerusalem.
Yeah, but that's a different set of Egyptian. Yeah. Those are people who went as a result of what Rome did. Yeah, Jeremiah is dealing with this, running to Egypt, trying to get away from Nebuchadnezzar, and God said, no, you got to go with Nebuchadnezzar. That happened 600 years later. And they go to Egypt then. And now they're all going back to the land of Israel in preparation for the 70 of the week. Amen. That's it's a great thing. If you read Jeremiah and you understand that, it makes Jeremiah very enjoyable in the sense that you understand what's going on, even though it can be an ugly book. You know, Jeremiah was sent in a time similar to where we're at. He was sent out to an apostate nation to tell them, it's about to get ugly, but you have got to obey the Lord. And that's where we're at. And a lot of churches are deciding, instead of staying the course and doing what is biblical, they're going to bring in the clowns and try to win people over with, lotteries and giving away, brand new car. Turn the church service into the Price is Right. Come on down. And that's just not God's way of doing things, but that's what the churches are turning into. And there was one church that somebody was telling me, this showed me this week, where the preacher preaches 10 to 15 minutes. And you're like, yeah, we need that guy. And that's why people want, because they're a microwave, fast food, get it now, and they're not workmen that needeth not to be ashamed. They're spoiled brats who want spoon-fed, and they only want sugar. They don't want anything of any meat or anything like that.
Father, precious blood of Jesus, we have access to the throne through the veil of this song. for solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.